Welcome to the Dairobi Health Show, covering the world of fitness, nutrition, and supplementation with world-class guests, the latest clinical research, and plenty of tips you can use right away to boost your health and wellness. Here's your host, Dave Sherwin.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Dairobi Health Show. I'm your host, Dave Sherwin, and have a very special guest today, James Lawrence, the Iron Cowboy. And chances are you have already heard of James, the Iron Cowboy, but if you haven't, he is a world record holder in more than one area. He actually set the record for the most Ironman distance triathlons completed in 1 year, finishing 30 races in 11 countries during 2012. But in 2015, he did what a lot of people just consider impossible or unthinkable. He completed 50 triathlons in 50 days, but get this, in 50 states. And if you just think about that, one triathlon for most people, Ironman distance triathlon, of swimming 2.4 miles, cycling 112 miles, and running a full marathon is a life achievement, a bucket list item to do one time. To do it 50 days in a row in 50 different states, which means you don't have time to recover or recoup. James averaged 4.5 hours of sleep during this time, but he did it. Set the world record. It's unbelievable. And I am so excited, James, to have you on the show. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Awesome, man. Thank you, Dave. It's always humbling and super scary to listen to that intro because I did live it. And it was an out-of-body experience and one that we look back on and can't believe ourselves that we accomplished it.
You're an inspiration to millions of people. I mean, my children came home from school every day. The schools were talking about where you were, what state you were in, and my little boy, Iron Cowboy's in Indiana, and he's on day 30 or whatever, you know. And they followed your progress, children all over the country, as well as obviously athletes and grown-ups and a lot of people. You're just an inspiration, and so it's an awesome story. To me, I can't even barely read the thing without, I mean, I've done triathlons, right? I mean, I did triathlon for 8 years. That was part of my whole life experience and what I did for those certain years of my life. And then I'm doing other things now, but I get it. I get what goes into doing a triathlon. So it is kind of miraculous. I mean, you say out of body experience. I mean, it just is kind of beyond imagining. And yet you envisioned this. I imagine it started before 2012. In 2012, when you did the 30 races in 11 countries, that wasn't intentional to set a world record, or was it?
So prior to 2012, we broke the world record for the most half Ironmans done in a year, and that was completely accidental. And then, you start sitting down and analyzing things and you're like, well, who wants to be the half Ironman world record? There's a full Ironman out there. And so we kind of set our sights on that. And it was a campaign to raise money for building dams in Africa for people that need, you know, irrigation water and to help them become more self-sufficient. And so we kind of attacked this world record in 2012. And at the end of that, we kind of sat down as a family and looked back on it and we were exhausted and challenged, but we knew deep down that there was something more, and so we started to conceptualize and put together what ultimately ended up being the 50, and what a humbling experience that was, but a ton of fun for my family and I to go out and really, you know, take on this extreme challenge, and we had no idea it would captivate a nation, and now. Really, we're having impact globally. Last year, I had an opportunity to go around and speak in over 30 different countries and share our story, and it has been just an incredible experience since not only finishing the journey, but the journey itself.
And you have a book. For those of you that want to really dive into this, you ought to pick up the book, Iron Cowboy, Redefine Impossible. It's very highly reviewed, as you can imagine, on Amazon. When did you write the book, James?
Yeah, we started writing the book immediately after the event. We, as you can imagine, my mental state during the back half of this was foggy at best. And so we knew we needed to sit down right away and starting to pull out all the information and start connecting all the dots of the people that we crossed and their stories. And we wanted to include all of those things in the book. And so we started immediately writing right after, and it took us about 2 years to complete it to where how we wanted it to be. We've got a very limited edition hard copies left with a color insert for pictures that I do ship from my home and that I'll sign. And those can be purchased on ironcowboybook.com. And like I said, we're down to our few final boxes, and then we won't be reprinting in hardcover with a color insert again.
I'm going to buy one the minute we end the call. I mean, that just sounds like a really cool thing. that ironcowboy.co?
Ironcowboybook.com.
Ironcowboybook.com. Sorry. Okay. And for those of you listening, I will put that link in the show notes. This will be episode 38. So if you go to Dairobi.com and click on the podcast link, you can find the podcast recording there. But if you go to the blog, you'll find the show notes and details, and we'll put a link to the book on Amazon. We'll put a link to the hardcover book on there as well. So that sounds awesome, and I'm excited to get my copy. And now this show, you know, I talked to you a little bit in preparing for the show. I don't think we're going to inspire anyone else on this show who's listening to go do 50 Ironmans in 50 days. But I certainly hope that someone listening is thinking, dang it, if that guy can do what most people would consider absolutely impossible, maybe I can run a 5K. Right? Maybe I can do a triathlon or join the gym or do whatever. Now, as you mentioned, everything you've done has been done for charity. I know that childhood obesity is something that you're passionate about. And if I remember right, the 50 and 50 was for childhood obesity, correct?
Yeah, we partnered with the Jamie Oliver Foundation and raised money through that foundation. We raised over $100,000, which was a ton of fun. You just said nobody's going to be inspired to do 50 Ironmans, and obviously that's not our goal. And that part of my message when I go out and speak is that everybody's hard is different. And everybody's version of difficult is unique to them. And that is now our platform, and our goal is for people to go out and redefine their impossible and what that truly means to them. And literally we get emails and letters from around the world of people that have been inspired by our story and have tackled their version of impossible. And it's a lot of fun to read these stories and see the impact that we're having. And it's the reason that we're, you know, doing podcasts like this and staying kind of on the forefront of getting this message out there and really helping people overcome the mental barriers that they're having and realize that the current standard of excellence out there is subpar. And we need to start comparing ourselves against ourselves and what we're truly capable of and not what other people are doing.
Yeah, that is really inspiring. And you're getting those stories from people, and it must just be so fulfilling for you. And before we get into it, I'd like to talk a little bit more about that. But first of all, you've used the word we a lot already. Although what you've done is mostly, you know, it's personal accomplishment of you are the one who ran the 50 Ironmans in 50 days. But everything you're saying is we. We talked as a family. We did this. We accomplished that. Talk to us about we, your support group, and what that's meant along the way.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting and the mindset that people have, but I've learned through experience that nothing great is ever accomplished on our own, truly, and none of this would have absolutely been possible without my wife, my kids right there alongside me, and the small team that we assembled to do this adventure, and I'm extremely grateful for them, because it truly is we. There isn't just one Iron Cowboy. There's a team that makes up that persona, and that has allowed us to go on and accomplish the things that we've done, and then now to continue to go out and have the impact that we're having.
Excellent. And you know, your wording, your vision of redefining impossible, of you know, current standards in some areas being subpar, that that resonates with me. I think back to Dallin Rogers. I interviewed Dallin Rogers. You know Dallin. He's the founder of FitCon. He was on a podcast interview with me, I don't know, 4 or 5 weeks ago. And when I was talking to him, he mentioned you. And you guys did an event in Greece last year, correct?
Yeah, Dallin's a total stud. I have a lot of respect for Dallin and really enjoyed his company in Greece. We did a unique adventure where we raised money for a charity to where veterans come out of the military and kind of are stuck and they don't know, you know, how to transition into corporate world, but they've got incredible skill sets. And so we did an event where we ran 235 miles across Greece. And what a very cool experience it was to go there and help some of these veterans and guys like Dallin kind of do something or the hardest thing that they've ever done. I got to kind of mentor Dallin through that experience, because it truly was, he got to the point where he wasn't sure if he could take the next step. And we kind of went through a process where, you know, Dallin, the next step isn't going to kill you. And it's in that next step, whether on that journey or in life, where we discover who we are as a person and we evolve and we adapt in those moments. And eventually it allows us to take on even bigger things. And so, yeah, what a very cool experience to do alongside Dallin and to be able to raise money for those charities. And it was a great time.
Yeah, it was a cool story. And the thing that he shared with us on there, and I just want to run it by you and have you share your thoughts on that, is that as you were doing that mentoring, one of the things that you had told him, when he asked you about the 50-50-50 event and preparing for it, that you had told him that every day you try to do something to get out of your comfort zone. And that really inspired him. Talk about that for a minute. Is that part of your deal? Is that part of your training? Are you literally every day trying to get out of your comfort zone? Or tell us how that applies to your life, that whole comfort zone thinking.
Yeah, it's key. It's the secret to success. You know, we're creatures of comfort, and it's great. I mean, I'm building a home right now so that I can be more comfortable with my family, but I still strive to do and become uncomfortable every day. I ask the question, when was the last time you intentionally became uncomfortable? And by doing so and by becoming uncomfortable, we face some of our fears. And by doing so, like I said, we overcome. We grow and we adapt, and success breeds success. Confidence builds confidence. And so to start this process, you want to find just something that maybe scares you just a little bit, or that makes you uncomfortable just a little bit, and then tackle it until you can overcome it and have, get on the other side of that difficulty or that fear. And as you continue to do this process, you will become better and better at it. And things won't become as daunting or as scary as they once were. And you'll be able to take on even bigger and bigger tasks to where you'll be able to take on your impossible, which was my impossible, which was the 50.
Well, that's awesome. So just one little bit at a time, just, you know, a little bit out of your comfort zone at first, and just leading to more and more growth. It's a great message. I mean, when we look out at especially the United States right now, it really is kind of sad when you look at some of the statistics regarding people's health and nutrition, everything from the food we eat to the way we exercise or don't exercise, how many of our youth are, you know, spending a whole lot of time playing video games or on social media. There's a lot of sitting. There's a lot of laziness. And frankly, there's kind of a lot of negativity and anger and outrage and in some cases kind of falsely so. I look out at society and I see where things are going. And in a lot of areas, it seems like we're not going in the right direction where, you know, for people who listen to your message to think, you know, maybe I should spend a little less time on my phone and a little more time in the gym. Maybe I should put down this donut and or soda and choose something else. You know, when I look at that disparity between a guy like yourself who's doing impossible feats of fitness and people who are, you know, unfortunately just, you know, fighting the battle of the bulge and sedentary on their couch, it seems such a wide gap. And so, again, you know, if someone it kind of falls into that mode right now and they're listening to you thinking, well, geez, you know, I'm not even close to this guy. I can't even relate to that type of athleticism. You know, what are you telling people as you go around and speak, as you meet with average, ordinary people who are, maybe aren't happy with their lifestyle? What is your message?
Yeah, you know, what's interesting, Dave, is I am average and ordinary. My journey started with a 4-mile fun run that I got up off the couch to go do and struggled through it, literally struggled through my first 4-mile run. And I realized in that moment that I was idle and not, you know, not actively engaged in really anything. I was kind of just coasting through life, and I didn't want that to be who I am and what I was about. I had two little kids at the time, and I started to make small changes and start to create different habits. And that's where we get into trouble the most, is when we're not actively engaged in anything. I mean, you look at statistics of any category. When someone's getting into trouble or doing things they shouldn't be doing, it's when their mind's not occupied on progress and learning and change. There's a huge difference between media that entertains us and media that educates us. And we're so heavily focused on the entertainment. Everybody needs to be entertained and this and that. And there's so much available as far as education out there on all the platforms and streaming and shareables and all these things. And we really need to take advantage of it. But I think that's one of the messages that I'm passionate about, is I am just like every one of your listeners. And they're just like me. I've been put through significant testing and everything because people said the only reason you were able to accomplish that is because you're genetically gifted. And I said, no, I'm not. And we did all the tests and everything, and I'm as average and ordinary as they come physically. And I have worked on my mental state as something to develop and grow by becoming intentional or uncomfortable, intentional over and over again. And so anybody that's listening that can't relate, I'm super excited to let them know that, man, I truly am just average, and they have access to all the same tools and keys that I use. And that is belief, conviction, planning, communication, obsession, all of these things that is just free to everybody to take and apply to whatever they're doing. You just have to find your passion and wake up every single day and put your feet on the ground and literally say, doubt me now, and then go to work.
That's awesome. And I would lump a lot of that thinking into something I call personal development. And I know that kind of has a negative connotation for some people, and maybe they picture, you know, some hypey speaker on a stage who's trying to get them to buy something. But that's not what I mean by the term. To me, personal development is simply filling your mind with positive things, whether it's to improve in your business or in your health, in your education, whatever the case might be. And it's interesting. One podcast I just recorded that is coming out soon was with one of our customers who lost 17 pounds in 21 days. And so it's just a cool case study interview. But what was interesting about that is when I went into that interview, I was thinking mostly about the physical side of it. Okay, what did you do? What did you eat? How many calories? Yada, yada. You know, those are all the things, because this is a physical goal. Losing 17 pounds in 21 days is a very physical thing. But what was immediately obvious as I interviewed, his name's Dave Hall, as I interviewed him, was how watching a special on Netflix and then reading a certain book were the two things that really got his mind into the place where he was able to do the physical. So it wasn't that he went and just kind of did all the physical things correctly to lose weight quickly. It started with him filling his mind with new thoughts. And it was kind of a good reminder, right? That thoughts are things, everything we accomplish starts in our brain. And then from there, and you mentioned the words, you know, belief and conviction earlier, but that all comes from our heart and our brain, and then we do the physical. And so you've just kind of alluded to that, and to, again, this area I just sum up as personal development. Do you have a plan for that? Is there a certain, you know, do you take a certain amount of time per day? Do you have a routine or a structure, a certain amount of books you try to read? Talk to us about this and how you implement it in your life.
Yeah, I you know, love that thread that we just, you know, kind of talked about there. And I'm a firm believer that you're either, you're never standing still. You're either moving forward or you're progressing or you're moving backwards. And that's the direction none of us want to be going. And in order to be moving forward, we have to be pushing our minds. And anything that I try to do and accomplish, I surround myself with experts. I can't possibly know everything, and nobody does. None of us are perfect, and we're all on a journey trying to get to a destination. And, you know, for me, I try to learn and absorb in all the areas that I'm weak. And one of the things that I try to do, I'm part of the Audible Club, and every single month I get my credit and I find a book, whether it's inspirational, motivational, help me with business, help me with mindset, help me with relationship. You know, there's so many very cool books out there and all the different perspectives, and not every book has everything in it that I want, but I'll pull little pieces and nuggets and pull it into my belief system and try to evolve and adapt and grow in all these different areas. So yeah, one of the habits I do is I try to listen to a book a month. And I do that when I'm training or stretching or rolling out or doing all the different things where, you know, I have an opportunity to do that. But like I said, you're either moving forward or you're moving backwards. We're never just standing still. And the way to progress forward is to gather information and knowledge and then apply that to our lives and the goals and the things that we're trying to do.
Excellent. And I love what you said about not just kind of believing or accepting everything you read in every book. I can't tell you how many times I've had a conversation like this with somebody who we talk about a book that I thought was just outstanding. And I said, oh, you've read that same book? Like, yeah, but they say this and that, and I don't really agree with that. And I always think that's interesting that there are some books out there that I don't agree with everything the author says, but I only need four or five really great nuggets from one book to feel like I could really change my life. And so I think that thinking that some people have that I don't know what it is, but it's almost like if the author doesn't think exactly like them, or if the author has a different, I don't know, whether it would be a religion or a different workout premise, or I don't know what it is. And maybe it's the same kind of thinking, you know, cyclists that hate triathletes or weightlifters that hate CrossFitters. You know what I'm saying? Like there's people that tend to kind of throw out the baby out with the bathwater or be so entrenched in their own camp that they can't pull anything from somewhere else. So I like how you said that you don't necessarily agree with everything, but you extract what you need, right?
Well, yeah, we're never going to be unified on all fronts. And I know we wanted to hit on nutrition, and I don't know if this is an okay time to transition to it, but the best example that I can think of is in the nutritional diet type space. Everybody has these, you know, their idea of what is ideal, and they want everybody to adapt to it. And the reality is most of these like extreme type diets that are on the market right now are just marketing and different spins on things. And within every one of these, you know, kind of diet cults or what have you, there's some great information out there. And that's where you really have to dive in and start to study all of these different things, because what's real and what's not, because I could literally find a scientific study to be pro or con against everything out there nutritionally. And really, you just have to take, you know, your core beliefs and then pull the bits and pieces from all these different extreme diets or way of eating and then apply that to your life and what works for you.
Yeah, this is a great time to segue over to nutrition. And yes, same thinking there. People seem to get sold on their particular way, their particular belief. I had that quite interesting experience when I went to India In 2010, I went to India, and India is a really fascinating country nutritionally because almost exactly 50% of the country is vegetarian and 50% eats meat. And so I found that to be fascinating. At the time, I was interested in that type of thing and the amount of meat to eat in a diet and all those things. And as I traveled around and met with various people and all the menus, you know, are like veggie on one side and meat on the other. So everything's just divided, vegetarian and non-vegetarian. And yet you can't possibly identify externally who are the vegetarians and who aren't. And it just, right? Because if you talk to a vegetarian in the United States, the vegetarian should be far more healthy, and you got to think, well, by the time they hit 50 years old, I should easily be able to tell them apart from others. But the fact is, it was just a very interesting case study for me to realize it would be impossible for me to identify the vegetarians from the non-vegetarians. And there was an epiphany there for me. So it sounds like you are not really of a particular camp. You probably don't follow one of the named diets, I assume. What are your dietary principles?
Yeah, it's interesting because it's one of the questions I get asked a lot, you know, from athletes or people that follow me is, you know, what do you eat? What's your diet? What do you recommend? This and that, the other. And it truly is something very, very individual for everybody because we all have a little bit different makeup. And for me, people always ask, what do you recommend? And I say, eat a clean as diet as you can. Enjoy some things sparingly and at some social events and whatnot. And always move your body. And for me, what I mean by eat as clean of a diet as you can is eliminate processed things and don't eat things in excess. I enjoy meat, but I don't enjoy meat every single meal and three times a day. It's just the issue with the American diet is the overconsumption of meat. If you can source some great quality meats and add that into your diet, you know, where it's appropriate, then great. But it really should have an emphasis on a plant-based, meaning as much green and color and fruits and vegetables and you know, good grains, all these things. That's where the focus should be. I'm not all plant-based. I'm not all vegetarian, but I try to eat as clean as I can. And absolutely, I will have a donut on my kid's birthday and ice cream now and again, all these different things. I don't deprive myself, you know, from enjoying some of those things in social settings and all these different things. So I don't adhere to any of the extreme, you know, ways of thinking and the intermittent fasting and keto. And I don't have a scale to weigh my food. If you're moving your body enough and you're eating, you know, as limited of a processed diet as you can, then you can enjoy some of those things and you can have a little bit of luxury, but it's just, everybody's just, oh, I have to do this. I have to weigh. The problem is, and the pattern that I've seen is you people can't be perfect and none of us are, none of us can be. And so people go out and they try to achieve perfection on this diet and they want to make this change and they can only do it for so long and then they fall off. And when they fall off, they really fall off. And I call it a dumpster fire. They just get wrecked for, you know, 3 to 6 months. And then they're like, okay, I'm motivated again. I'm going to be perfect for, you know, 30, 45 days. And they go through this very destructive pattern of A+, F-, A+, F-. And for me, you can call it a B+ diet. If you can look back on your year and say, yes, I scored a B+. Or even an A-, then you're going to be so further ahead than that destruction perfection model of just like being perfect and then falling completely off.
I love it. B+, A-. That makes a ton of sense to me. And I imagine that's kind of a comfort for those people out there that thought that perfection was the goal, or that a guy like you who's accomplished what you have, I bet there's people out there that thought you do eat a perfect diet. So that's got to be good news to a lot of people listening.
Yeah, good news to everybody. I eat junk occasionally, and I have no genetic advantage. There you go.
Okay, that's awesome. Now let's really get down to where the rubber hits the road. I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit, and we're going to get into specifics about nutrition by simply asking you what your favorite meals are. Let's start with breakfast. What is a typical or favorite breakfast? Not favorite being like something you do on a special occasion. Favorite being that you often eat for breakfast because you really enjoy it. What would your go-to breakfast be?
Yeah, I always wake up first thing and have a fruit, whether it's an orange or a banana or something. And then I will typically do a workout. During my workouts, I don't use goos or anything like that. I've got a really clean product coming out that we've been working on for while you're working out. Look for that. It's going to come out on our website, ironcowboy.com. It'll be our nutritional line. But I use that in my workout along with some apple sauces or quick usable sugars. And then for breakfast, I love eggs. I always make myself some fresh hash browns, cut up some potatoes. Some days I'll have oatmeal with honey or walnuts or chia seeds, things like that. But pretty much a really good consistent staple for me is eggs and hash browns. After I have the fruit and whatnot, I get some good carbs back in me, some proteins, and then we're back at it.
Excellent. Lunch?
Lunch. One of my favorite places to stop here in Utah is Cafe Rio. I mean, not Cafe Rio, sorry. Costa Vida. Costa Vida. And basically, it's just fresh Mexican grill, where we've got rice, beans, a lean meat, a tortilla, just some really good stuff like that. And so lunch is going to typically be, again, a good mix of protein, carbs, and fats. Fats always need to be in there. And then dinner, as big of a salad as I can find, get a lot of my greens. I usually eat my big meals middle of the day, breakfast, and then something lighter, easily digestible. When my wife and I go out, we always opt for all-you-can-eat sushi, and that's how we'll treat ourselves.
Awesome. You are talking my language. You and I could eat together breakfast, lunch, and dinner anytime. That sounds really, really good.
There you go.
yeah. I love those options. Now, for those of you who are not in the Western states where we have a Cafe Rio or a Costa Vida, basically any of those new, I call them new, but they've probably been around quite a while now, but those restaurants where you get fresh Mexican food, right? Any of them that you kind of stand in line, get up there and tell them what you want, and they're going to do a fresh made tortilla and got the vegetables all right there. And like I said, the lean meat. So, it's different everywhere you go, but you can always find fresh Mexican, right? And can't go wrong with that. So,
sure.
Yep. Well, that is awesome. Now the balance between carbs, protein, and fats. It sounds like, I mean, the diet you described is fairly balanced. Do you spend much time, focusing on any one of those? Would you say you have more of a fat based diet or more of a protein based or carbs? What are your thoughts on the balance between those macros, fat, carbs, protein?
I don't weigh them. I don't count them. I don't count calories. I just don't. I think the people that do that, it's for like getting on stage for a competition, a figure competition, things like that. Or really you're on the beginning of a significant weight loss journey or a health change. But for the most part, it's just eating real foods, and in real foods, there's going to be the balance that you need between them. I mean, I hear these stupid, ridiculous things that I don't eat fruit because it has, sugar in it. And I'm like, well, it also has fiber in it and all these other things that help your body break down and metabolize the sugar in a very different way. And so it's just like real food is produced or made in a way purposefully by nature so that it has all the things in it that we need. And carbs get a really bad name. But the reality is that's what vegetables are. Vegetables are carbs. It's processed carbs that are bad. And so when somebody says I'm having a no I'm on a no carb diet and I'm eating a lot of salads and more plant based, I'm like, then you're eating a high carb diet. And it's just the language that people are using and the amount of poor information that's out on the web. And so as far as like distributions, if you eat real food consistently, and just make sure that you are eating, okay, these are good fats, these are good proteins, these are good carbs, then you really can't go wrong.
Excellent. And let's move into, we've talked about fitness a lot, of course. That's kind of your jam. And then now nutrition. Let's move into supplementation. You've mentioned supplements a little bit. You've got some on your website. You've got some coming out. Most people, again, let's just try to address the general population as much as we can. What are your thoughts on supplementation? And let's start with the basics. There is a strong argument that there are some things that we do better at, that we ought to supplement with. What would you consider the core supplements that most people are probably deficient in?
Probably a fairly controversial topic, and there's going to be a pro camp and a con camp for every topic or supplement out there. You can find fish oils are bad for you, omegas are bad for you, omegas are great for you, salt is great for you, sodium is bad for you, all these different things. And so for me, I lean first on a clean diet, a heavily plant-based fruits and vegetables diet, so that you can source as many things as you can naturally, and then beyond that, there's some aminos that you just can't get, and sometimes, there's this whole movement out there about athletes. We need this incredible amounts of protein, and we supplement with all these proteins. And again, fruits and vegetables. I mean, vegetables specifically have a ton of protein in them. I've never seen a doctor's report where they're like, "Wow, you are incredibly deficient in protein." There's always other things that people are deficient in. That's not them. But again, if you have a great diet, there's not a massive need for supplementation. But for me, I have always, for the last 20 years, I've used Young Living products. They're not just an oil company. They've got your basic greens for any holes that we are missing in our diets. And so I use a lot of, B vitamins, Trisome Energy, and natural greens for some of the holes that we have in our diets. I'll use a recovery protein just to immediately get some in my body, but I don't count hundreds, whatever grams or how many per pounds per kilogram and things like that that I need. And so really, my world of supplementation is just making sure that I have the fuel that I need, and so I try to get food first. And then from there, there's a lot of great labs out there that can pull. Like if you really have low energy or hitting a low in the afternoon, you may be shy on specific things, and you need to go do that. Get a blood test, a very detailed one, and get a specific regimen for you. But for the average person, it can be achieved with food. And because the American diet is so bad, just changing that, you will see a massive shift in energy, and your body's amazing at recovering and adapting and making changes. And so once you make changes with food, then see if there's holes as far as supplementation goes. But with that said, I've been taking supplements my entire life. But just basic things that may be being missed in some of the way that foods are being processed and things like that.
Yeah. Oh, it's awesome. I mean, basically, they're called supplements for a reason, right? They're supposed to supplement a good, healthy diet. And obviously you're down with that. And as am I. I own a supplement company. I sell supplements for a living. And yet I'm the first to tell everyone, the order is not supplements and then fitness and then nutrition. It's exactly the opposite. It's nutrition is number one by a long way. And then your fitness and how you're moving your body and exercising, and then supplementation. And I love supplements. I'm like you. I take them. But I don't expect them to make up for deficiencies in my diet. I expect my diet, I want my diet to be as solid as possible and for the supplements to be just what they're called, supplemental. So I'm fine with that. I like the plug for Young Living. Go ahead.
Just real quick for me, as a great example, I just came down with a cold, and that's why I sound so horrible. And I loaded up on a supplement of garlic, and I just overdosed on garlic because I wanted it to just go in there. It's a natural way to heal things, and so I supplemented my diet with a heavy dose of garlic to try to combat and kill whatever it was that was taking me down. And we do things like that, and it's just like you said, it's a supplement to a regular diet. I don't take garlic on a regular basis, but I know that it has a lot of healing pieces to it, and so we supplemented with garlic to help me to get over this.
Excellent. And then you mentioned the company, it was Young Living, right?
Yeah, Young Living Essential Oils.
Right. And essential oils is something that we have in our cupboard. We are certainly not experts in essential oils, but we use them. We have a few favorites that are go-to oils. Do you want to take a minute on oils? Does your family use essential oils on a regular basis?
Yeah. I've been using oils for 20 years, and we use it on all of our kids. We diffuse it in the house. There's oils that open up your lungs for respiration and help for different things that you're dealing with, or, you know, without being specific, that can, you know, help with rashes or different things. But the oils are very, very therapeutic and have been being used. It's, you know, heavily used in Chinese medicine and homeopathic remedies. There's a huge shift going on that pharmaceuticals, you know, have its place, but for the most part, they are ruling our people and making us more sick. And to get, you know, to be not so dependent on them, it all comes down to finding your own natural remedies that work for you, eating a clean diet, and ultimately moving your body. And combining all of these things is the way to health and wellness. You start from the inside out. Don't look at scales, don't count calories, don't do all these crazy things. Just start on the path of health and wellness and whatever that means for you. But the key to it is just to be consistent with it.
Love it. Excellent. Hey, what's next for you? What are you working on?
Yeah, for me, you know, we've got the whole coaching platform that people can check out, teamironcowboy.com. We help people accomplish your physical goals. Going around the world and talking about, you know, what we did, one of the huge demands that we hear and people wanting is how to overcome things mentally, not just in sports, but with relationships and other things that we're working on. Mental is a huge, huge topic of conversation. And so we've been working really, really hard to pull out not necessarily the steps, but the key principles to overcoming something mentally. And we're going to be rolling out a program that'll help people overcome the mental aspect of things. And so we really dove into the mental side of things, the physical side of things. We've got the book. We're working on, you know, a new behind the scenes production of what it takes to do these physical feats that we do. Off the record, There may be a physical challenge coming up in 2020 that we're not yet ready to announce.
Okay, so we will watch for that to come out. This has been phenomenal. You've answered everything that I had thought of, but do you have any parting thoughts? Is there anything that I haven't asked that I probably should have, or any last message for my listeners before we sign off?
There's just so many things that we could, you know, converse about, and you and I could probably talk for hours. The reality is to succeed in anything, you have to have, you know, a passion for it. But ultimately, at the end of the day, to succeed, you have to do a lot of little things consistently over a long period of time. And that's called the basics. I've seen a lot of people trying and wanting to achieve something, and then just not having the patience and putting in the time that it takes to achieve that goal. Goals should be big. They should be scary. But a goal with you know, an enormous challenge to it should be approached with patience and have the appropriate time frame with it. And so my parting thought would be do a lot of little things consistently over a long period of time and give the goal that you're trying to achieve the respect that it deserves in order to reach that goal, and just figure out how to take the next step continually. Yes, you're not perfect. We're going to fall off, as long as you get back up every single day. And it's cliche, but it is so true. Get up every single day, put your feet on the ground, say, doubt me now, and make your way every single day closer and closer to that goal.
I love it. This has just been outstanding. I have loved it. I hope the people at home listening to this have enjoyed it as much as I have. James, how can people get a hold of you or learn more about you and what you're doing?
Yeah, you can go to our website, which is ironcowboy.com. And then you can also follow me on my social media handles, Iron Cowboy James. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. I post mostly on Instagram on my stories. We post everything, what we're doing, what we have coming out, the programs that we have available, how to get our book, all the fun things is on there. And it's just a lot of fun. I do want to say we've got a really cool race series if you want an extreme challenge. We've got one here in Utah and one in Vermont. They're called Utah's Toughest and Vermont's Toughest. And they're full distance triathlons, but they're extreme conditions. So a tough swim, typically in some colder waters, but very, very clean, beautiful waters. And then as an example, the race in Utah, 120 miles with 12,500 feet of elevation gain, finishing it at the beautiful Brighton Ski Resort. Well, you'll do a 24-mile run on trail with about 8,000 feet of climbing. So these aren't your regular triathlons. These are for people that love grassroots, difficult, hard challenges, and that really want to go test themselves physically and mentally. And this is the first year we're putting them on, and so we've discounted it right down to $150 for a full day of challenging terrain. And you can find out more information about those races at ironcowboyracing.com, and we would just love the support and love to see people get out and challenge themselves.
Excellent. And as I said at the beginning, the first thing I'm going to do when we're done recording is buy the book. That sounds awesome. The hardcover book. That was at ironcowboybook.com, right?
Yep, absolutely.
And not many left, but it's a hardcover with the beautiful full color pictures, and you're going to sign it.
Yep.
And you don't have many of those left. So for those of you listening, that sounds like a really cool thing for anyone to snag and a limited opportunity on that. So, James, again, thank you so much. I appreciate you being on the show.
Awesome, Dave. All my best to you. Thank you.
Okay, everybody. Thanks so much for listening to the Dairobi Health Show. This is Dave Sherwin wishing you health and success.
Thanks for listening to the Dairobi Health Show. Make sure and check Dairobi.com for a free copy of Dave's excellent health book, Formula 7, and enter to win in our free Bottle Friday contest. If you're enjoying the show, leave your review on iTunes. See you next time.